possible.
Call the meeting of House Fish, Wildlife, and Parks to order.
Mr. Chair, I don't believe your microphone is on.
Call this Fish, Wildlife, and Parks Committee meeting to order, 28 January 2021. It's approximately 2:32. Ms. Kozlerich, would you do roll call?
Chair Fitzgerald.
Here.
Vice Chair Durham.
Here.
Vice Chair Ferris Olson.
Here.
Representative Burgley.
Present.
Representative Fielder.
Here.
Representative France.
Here.
Representative Jedediah Hinkle.
Excused.
Representative Rhonda Knutson.
Here.
Representative Logie.
Here.
Representative Marler.
Here.
Representative Mitchell.
Excused.
Representative Novak.
Here.
Representative Phelan.
Here.
Representative Putnam.
Here.
Representative Running Wolf.
Here.
Representative Rexton.
Here.
Representative Seekins Crow.
Here.
Representative Weatherwax.
Here.
Quorum present, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Kozlerich. Please don't forget to silence your cell phones. And if you need to take a call, please step out in the hall, away from the doors. If you're planning on giving testimony for today's three bills, please sign in at the back of the room and fill in the information. And again, we are on live TV and live audio, so be aware. And also, please adhere to a very polite decorum here, so we're all respectful of everybody's wishes and opinions. As you see the bill listing up there, we'll take care of our good senators first, and then we'll go to House Bill 225. We have till about 4:15 to 4:30 to complete this session, so we may have to establish some limits on testimony on the 225 bill, depending on the time. So just understand that we want to give everybody a chance, both on screen and in the hall, in the room here, a chance to express their opinions. So with that, we'll open the hearing on Senate Bill 61. Senator Flowers, I see you're on the screen. Senator Flowers.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Senator Pat Flowers. I represent Senate District 32 in Gallatin County. And I'm bringing you today Senate Bill 61 that simply adds Mother's Day weekend as a free fishing weekend. This would be in addition to Father's Day free fishing, which has been in state law for the last 10 years. That was House Bill 47 in 2011, carried by Representative Ken Peterson. Like many of you in the room, I'm sure I grew up fishing with my family, and really some of my fondest memories of my father in particular were days fishing with him. And when I had kids, I did the same, and some of our best family times were fishing all over the state. And I have to say it's now come full circle as my kids picked me up on Fox, so it was a great day. We had a lot of fun. And so really, that's what this bill is all about. It's creating the opportunity for families who perhaps haven't fished or haven't been able to afford to fish, the opportunity to get out on Mother's Day weekend and enjoy that family time together. And who knows, it also provides an opportunity to, I think, recruit some fishermen either now or in the future.
I'm sorry, Senator Flowers, I just don't want to interrupt you, but your connection was...
So I hope you'll support Senate Bill 61. It's...
I think we caught most of your intro, Senator Flowers. You were cutting in and out. Must be a weak signal on your internet there. But I think we caught the most of it.
Not good.
Okay, we will open it up to proponents on Senate Bill 61.
Like Mr. Chair, I'd be happy to defer.
You were chopped up again, Senator Flowers, but we'll go ahead and proceed with the proponents, and then we can see if we can get you stronger by questions. Proponents, please.
Mr. Chair.
Whoops, go ahead.
Could I ask Jesse to send me the password for the network in the Capitol?
I will get that tracked down for you, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Tack. Appreciate the assistance. Okay, proponents, go ahead. Come forth, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Colin Cooney, that's C-O-O-N-E-Y, here today on behalf of Trout Unlimited. As I told the good senator, this might be the most important bill of the session. It's a great bill. It's a lighthearted bill. We all love our mothers. We all love fishing, and we urge it to pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cooney. Further proponents in the room. Further proponents on Senate Bill 61. Okay, Mr. Tack, we have proponents on Senate Bill 61 in the queue.
Mr. Chair, I have Nick Givak.
Mr. Givak.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. I am Nick Givak. I'm the Conservation Director for the Montana Wildlife Federation. And we do want to thank Senator Flowers for bringing such a challenging bill that rolled out of the Senate 50 to nothing. So I'd like to thank, we all do love our mothers, and it is a great bill. I think there's a lot of consensus on this. Also, you know, we do support getting more anglers out there, and so allowing for free fishing on Mother's Day might be a good way to do that. So we'd ask for a due pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Givak. Further proponents on the queue.
Mr. Chair, I have Emily Cooper.
Ms. Cooper.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, committee members. For the record, my name is Emily Cooper. I'm the Licensing Bureau Chief at Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. I'm here today on behalf of the department in support of Senate Bill 61. Like Senator Flowers said, in 2011, this law created the opportunity for anglers.
I apologize, Emily Cooper. I accidentally kicked you. Would you mind starting that?
You bet. You bet. For the record, my name is Emily Cooper. I am the Licensing Bureau Chief at Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, and I'm here today on behalf of the department in support of Senate Bill 61. As Senator Flowers said, this law back in 2011 created the opportunity for anglers to fish on Father's Day weekend without the requirement of a fishing license. Senate Bill 61 includes Mother's Day weekend as an additional opportunity for anglers to fish with their families without the requirement of a fishing license. As we all know, angling opportunities in Montana are world famous, and this is a great way to spend time with our families. Free fishing on Father's Day has been a very popular thing and to promote family fishing, and we support adding Mother's Day as a logical extension, and we expect this to promote further opportunities to connect with families outdoors. Mr. Chairman, committee members, the department would like to thank Senator Flowers for sponsoring the bill and recommend a due pass for Senate Bill 61.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Cooper. Further proponents in the queue, Mr. Tack?
Nothing further online, Mr. Chair.
Any other proponents in house? Any proponents? Seeing none. Are there any opponents? Opponents for Senate Bill 61. Seeing none in-house, Mr. Tack?
Nothing online, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Informational witnesses. Informational witnesses on Senate Bill 61.
And nothing in queue, Mr. Chair.
Seeing none? That's two nones. Does that make a zero? Okay. Questions from the committee? Yes, Ms. Representative Seekins-Crowe.
Mr. Chair, I believe this will be for Ms. Cooper.
Ms. Cooper?
Had to track her down, found her.
Representative. Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative. Mr. Chair.
Representative Seekins-Crowe.
Ms. Cooper, I happen to be one of those that actually buys a fishing license every year because I think my husband has dreams of us, you know, fishing away into our retirement happily ever after. I'm not quite sure if that's been realized by him yet or not, but is there even any way you can estimate how many people we end up getting on Father's Day?
Mr. Chair, Representative Seekins-Crow, we don't. We don't have any decent estimate. We know that it's popular amongst families just from going out in the field and seeing that folks are actually utilizing those, but we don't know how many actually have purchased a license or how many are fishing, taking advantage of this opportunity. So we had no way to guess how many additional families would take advantage of that on Mother's Day as well.
Follow up, Mr. Chair.
Follow up, Representative Seekins-Crow.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Cooper, is this something, I guess I just haven't paid attention before, that you guys really advertise or, you know, put out a lot of marketing so that people really take advantage of this?
Mr. Chair, Representative Seekins-Crow, we do promote this. We do advertise it. I can probably speak for the department when I say we could certainly do more. And I think if we add the Mother's Day weekend to the Father's Day weekend, we will actually put out some more information and make this information a little bit better known for families.
Perfect. Thank you.
Further questions from the committee? Further questions from the committee? Seeing none. Would you like to close on your bill, Senator Flowers? Senator Flowers, do you read?
Yes, Mr. Chair. My apologies. I'll keep the video off, and maybe that will help.
Certainly. Whatever suits you. Go ahead and close on your bill, Senator.
Thanks very much, and I apologize for the technical difficulties here. This is a good chance to encourage more folks to get out and fish with families, great family activity, and it's a great way to honor our mothers, grandmothers, sisters, daughters, so I hope you'll give this your support. Thank you very much for the great hearing.
Thank you, Senator Flowers. Next up, Senate Bill 6-2, Senator Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Bob Brown, Senate District 7. Today I'm bringing you Senate Bill number 62, and I guess I would voice my support for the last bill and just tell everybody that, you know, if you hate your mom, vote no. If you love your mother, vote yes. So I think we'll probably get through here with that, you know. Senate Bill 62, what it's addressing is, if you look on the page 4, it just kind of redefines what possession is. And what's happening here, and the reason we need to do this is FWP, what they have is they have people, and they go out on these, what they call thrill kills. They just go out and find a bunch of deer or something out in the field that looks like they might be good targets, but then they do nothing with that. They just shoot the deer and let them lay, or elk, or whatever game animal it may be. They just shoot it and let it lay, and there is no charge. They can't charge them with any kind of possession of that animal. And so many of the charges that they can charge them with don't face any loss of privileges. You know, so what we're looking at is some of the, in my mind, the most egregious forms of poaching. You're not shooting something to feed your family. You're not, you know, you're not even shooting it to make a rug out of it. You're shooting it just to shoot it. And so in my mind, it's some of the worst. I don't know why anybody would do that. We have so many hunting opportunities and opportunities within the state to get out and go hunting. This certainly is not hunting. It's just wantonly killing animals. And so what they want to be able to do is charge these folks that are doing this with possession. Then that can come with a loss of privilege. They, you know, and one of my questions is we've we first started this, you know, looking into this bill was, what if somebody happens to shoot an animal and it gets away? You know, it happens. I mean, it's an accident. Nobody wants it to happen, but it does happen. It gets away, and it's left laying there. And the department came back. The answer there is those people, as long as they had a license, they weren't trying to illegally take that game. And so this wouldn't affect those things, you know, if you, you know. So anyway, with that, I'll sit. We'll get you guys out of here quickly. It came through the Senate Fish and Game and the Senate floor without any opposition. And I will say the other thing, too, is we had it on the floor. It was a tough act to follow because it was right behind Senator Flowers' bill. So it's tough to follow Free Fishing for Mom. But here it is. It's a good bill, and it accomplishes a good thing. So with that, I'll sit.
Thank you, Senator Brown. Proponents on Senate Bill 62. Proponents. Mr. Tack, do we have in the queue?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I have Nick Jivak.
Mr. Jivak.
Mr. Chairman and members of the House FWP Committee, again, I am Nick Jivak, and I'm here representing the Montana Wildlife Federation. I, first off, really want to thank Senator Brown for bringing this bill. We were very surprised to learn about this shortcoming in the law as it stands now. And I spent 11 years as a newspaper reporter here in Montana, and I wrote a lot of stories about this very incident, and I think we've all read those in the paper. These are some of the most egregious waste of our public wildlife resources. So this is really a cleanup bill that we badly need. This will help our game wardens better enforce our game protection laws. And for those reasons, we'd ask for a due pass on this. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jivak. Mr. Tack?
Mr. Chair, I also have Dave Lowen.
Mr. Lowen.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Dave Lowen, last name Lowen. I'm the chief of law enforcement for Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. I'm here today on behalf of the director in support of Senate Bill 62. Every year, game wardens investigate many cases where animals are killed unlawfully. In most cases, when the poacher unlawfully kills and retrieves the unlawful animal, they can be and generally are charged with possessing an unlawfully killed animal. However, oftentimes the animal or animals are simply shot and left to rot. Currently, in these cases, when the poacher does not retrieve the animal, they cannot be charged with possession. These acts can only be categorized as egregious acts of poaching, stealing wildlife from the public and robbing others of the opportunity to lawfully harvest an animal. In these cases, the poachers responsible are faced with a series of misdemeanor charges and may or may not lose their hunting privileges, both of which serve as little to no deterrent for this criminal activity. Senate Bill 62 would close this loophole. Currently, the possession statute only applies to animals that have been unlawfully killed, captured, or taken, not for when a hunter simply cannot find a game animal. This bill does not in any way change that. Rather, this bill simply provides that poachers who unlawfully kill an animal and choose to drive away or walk away from the scene of the crime can be held responsible for that act. They would be charged with possessing an unlawfully killed animal, face a significant fine, and face a mandatory loss of privileges set by the court. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members, and I'd be glad to stand by for any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Lowen. Further proponents.
Nothing further online, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Tack. Any further proponents in-house? Seeing none. Opponents. Do we have opponents to Senate Bill 62? Opponents.
Nothing further online, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Tack. Seeing none. Informational witnesses. Any informational witnesses?
Nothing online, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, sir. Seeing none, questions from the committee? Representative Durham.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question for Dave Lowen, please.
Mr. Lowen. Mr. Lowen, there you go.
Mr. Chair, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Lowen. Thank you for your service and your expertise. Could you kind of share with us, are there other charges for killing a game animal when not authorized to do so, like whether it's the wrong time or wrong location or without permission?
Mr. Chair, Representative, absolutely there are other charges depending on the crime. Each case is somewhat unique, whether a person is shooting something without a license or trespassing on private property without permission, things of that nature. What we run into and what this bill aims to get at is exactly what Senator Brown pointed out, is the thrill killing, the outright poaching when animals are shot and left on property. We're very limited on what we can charge when the poacher doesn't actually go up and take physical possession of the animal. We're very limited on that. Plus, if we get to the animal before it spoils, we're able to field dress it. So then charging waste is not appropriate because we were able to salvage the animal. So we're just very limited in these cases. And that's kind of been the way we've had to navigate this for quite some time. Mr. Chair.
Follow up, Mr. Representative Durham.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And so follow up, Mr. Lowen. Again, I'm not as familiar with the laws. I have practices, but once a person shoots at an animal, are they liable to go make a good faith effort to determine whether the animal is injured or not?
Mr. Chair, Representative, that's kind of getting into some more of the ethical side of hunting rather than the law side of things. Yeah, it's been our experience. Most hunters do follow up on a shot to make sure, you know, if it was a hit or if it was a miss. So that's more of an ethical conundrum. There's no law that says that a person must follow up and find that animal. I'm not sure if that answers your question, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Lowen.
Further questions from the committee? Yes, Representative France.
This would be for either Mr. Lowen or the bill's sponsor.
Do you got your mic on okay?
I think I do.
Okay.
Both as a person who uses words and as a lawyer, possession to me means possession and in control of, and a deer lying out in the woods really isn't in possession. I just would ask whether this is really the right way to approach this illegal activity and immoral activity and unethical activity, or whether we shouldn't have the statute speak to this particular crime of illegally shooting an animal and leaving it lay without any attempt to possess it.
Mr. Lowen?
Mr. Chair, Representative France, I believe. What the bill is getting at here is a more commonly known as constructive possession. And that's been batted around in statute before and addressed by various Supreme Courts across the country, including the Montana Supreme Court at one point spoke of this exact same thing. And it is captured in quite an archaic case law. So what we're getting at is just the act of reducing that animal to your possession. That animal is no longer able to escape or get away. You've rendered it to your possession, and this bill tries to just capture that as constructive possession.
Representative France.
Thank you, Mr. Lowen. I think I'll ride along with the sponsor on this bill. He's trying to do the right thing with it, and I'm not sure it's the way I would have done it, but appreciate we're trying to address a problem, and this will get the job done.
Further questions from the committee? Further questions? I might have just one here. Not to slight you, Senator Brown, but I was just wondering if these fines that are described in the law here, is that for the bunch or per critter, or how does that work on penalties, and how's that determined by the judge, or is there something set in concrete, Mr. Lowen?
Mr. Chair, was that question for me, sir?
Certainly, if you would.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, that can be done a couple of different ways, depending on how the court and the prosecuting attorneys want to handle it. Sometimes these can be prosecuted in aggregate, where all the animals are taken into consideration as one package, and sometimes they're prosecuted as single animals. So it really depends on the way it wants to be prosecuted.
Thank you, Mr. Lowen. Senator Brown, one quick one before you close. Are these penalties for these egregious acts strong enough in terms of loss of license? What's the feedback on loss of license time?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, I think they probably are. I specifically, I would have to get in and look at it. You know, when you start talking about that, we know that the courts are going to weigh, you know, all aspects of it and administer that appropriately. And in my mind, you know, maybe they're not. You know, you start dumping a bunch of animals out in the, just like I say, out in the field. You know, that should hold a pretty stiff penalty. And but I think this is a good step. This you know, I think it's going to all of a sudden will, you know, deter some of those. You know, and I would go to say, you know, too, they begin to be able to, you know, kind of get into my closing here a little bit. But you know, I remember one time on the Warden Show, they which was, you know, the Montana wardens that they were filming at the time, where they had multiple cases of this in, you know, a specific area, and they were able to track that down and connect these people to more than one location where this had happened time and time again, same people doing it. You know, so I think that you know, it will be if we need to address that in the future. But now that they can charge these folks with possession, I think some of those people, you know, I think a lot of those people probably do buy a hunting license and go out and hunt during the regular season as well. But once they know there's some severe penalty for it, I believe that it will slow it down and gives us a course of action.
Thank you, Senator Brown. I made a mistake here. It says not less than three, but could be for life. So I guess that takes care of most of it.
When you lose your hunting privileges for life, and I believe now, you know, most states recognize that as well. If you lose your license here, you're gonna lose it in those other states.
Thank you, Senator Brown. Would you like to close?
Yeah. First off, I would just like to say that it was always one of my greatest honors to have served as the chairman of the House Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. I don't know what it is I'm going to do that's ever really going to top that. To be honest with you, it was really something that was that meant a lot to me, and I was proud to serve with you all. And I see that we have our committee in very capable hands, with that, you know, I would just like to say thank you. My time in the House was some of my favorite so far. You know, Senate's a little different, a little slower, but I think that I think the pace is going to pick up here. But really, I do believe that House Bill 62 is a needed thing. You know, gives the department a way to put a, you know, to curb this type of behavior. And if you're going to make the choice to go out and do it, I hope you're watching. Because the fine's going to be a little more stiff from now on. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Brown. Good to see you again, sir. Okay, this will close the hearing on Senate Bill 62. Pull out your folder on House Bill 225. Representative Fielder, are you prepared to start the process? Understand, folks, too, like I say, we've got, I think, sufficient time to take care of everybody, but we do have about 20 in the queue and current folks here in addition. So let's strive to be brief and concise and state your viewpoint during the proper time. So Representative Fielder, please proceed.
Mr. Chair, members of the House Fish and Wildlife Committee, my name is Paul Fielder. I'm from House District number 13 in beautiful northwestern Montana. Today I bring before you House Bill 225, which is a wildlife management bill that seeks to lengthen the wolf trapping season in Montana and allow the Fish, Wildlife, and Park Commission to adjust the dates for specific wildlife for specific wolf management units based on regional recommendations. This bill has 19 co-sponsors, and when I talked to them, they all expressed a need that we should try to reduce the wolf populations in Montana. House Bill 225 adds to page 2, well, on page 2 of your the bill there, it simply adds lines 26, 27, and 28. The intent of House Bill 225 is to lengthen the wolf trapping season. Presently, the wolf trapping season extends from December 15th through February 28th of the following year. This is a wildlife management tool. Wildlife management tools include season lengths, bag limits, size restrictions, antlerless restrictions. There's a number of different wildlife tools that wildlife managers use to manage wildlife populations. So season length is one way to address wildlife populations. HB 225 would start the wolf trapping season the Monday after Thanksgiving. Currently, big game rifle seasons end the Sunday after Thanksgiving. So this bill would not overlap with the rifle season for deer and elk. And this bill this bill would also extend the wolf trapping season to March 15th. Currently, the trapping season ends the end of February, February 28th. So this adds basically 2 weeks at the beginning of the wolf trapping season and 2 weeks at the end of the wolf trapping season. It adds two good trapping weeks at the beginning and at the end, because wolf trapping season as it occurs now from December 15th through the end of February is in very harsh conditions. You got snow, you got freezing and thawing, rain and snow, and oftentimes that puts traps out of commission. So this would provide some good trapping season at the beginning and at the end of this, what we have now. The Fish, Wildlife, and Parks Commission would still have the opportunity, based on regional recommendations, to change the season in any one of the 18 wolf trapping units in the state. They might want to make that change for a grizzly bear issue or a population issue or something like that. But hopefully the bill says that those recommendations would come from the regional office, which is very much in tune with what's going on in that region. Wolves are numerous in Montana. You know, you ask some people and they'll say, how much is enough? And they'll say, we just need more. I gave a handout there to you, and it shows a table on there. And there's some columns in that table. And one of them is POM with an asterisk, and the other is IPOM with an asterisk. So one is a patch occupancy model, which the department started using back in 2007 to estimate wolf populations in the state. The other one, the improved patch occupancy model, is considered more refined, and it updates and is more accurate than the previous thing that they were using. So if we look at the bottom of there, we have a wolf population in the state of between 833 and 1,156. So depending on which model you want to go with, the wolf population is estimated to be somewhere in that neighborhood. The Montana Wolf Management Plan calls for a minimum population of 15 breeding pairs and 150 wolves in Montana. So that's what they call for their minimum population. But to satisfy the requirement for 15 breeding pairs, not all packs of wolves have a breeding pair in them. About 27% of the wolf packs have a breeding pair in them. So you'd have to figure if only 27% of the packs have a breeding pair. In order to have that 15 breeding pairs in the state, you'd need a minimum population of about 282 wolves. So if we need a minimum of 282 wolves, and our estimated population is four times that much, maybe we've got too many wolves. One of the other requirements of the Montana Wolf Management Plan is to maintain a sustainable hunter opportunity for ungulates. And the problem in some regions of the state, northwestern Montana particularly, is we've got a lot of wolves and our ungulate population is declining. Ungulates, I mean deer, elk, and moose primarily. Now, if you look farther over on that table in the center and as we move to the right, it talks about the total harvest of wolves. And this is information is from the Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. In 2019, if you look at the bottom of that table for total harvest, there were 293 wolves taken in Montana by both hunting and trapping. Trapping comprised 44% of the wolves that were taken that year. If you look at the eight-year average, if you calculated the eight-year average, you would find that 39% of the wolves taken in Montana are taken by trapping. And yet the wolf population continues to grow, and it's four times what the minimum population is recommended to be. If you move a little bit farther to the right on that table, and it says WS removals, that's the U.S. Department of Agriculture Wildlife Services, which does wildlife damage control. And it sometimes, before trapping came in, they were taking over 100 wolves a year to control damage to livestock. And then, of course, the last column there is producer removals, and this is landowners that are removing wolves to control predation on their livestock. So the wolf population has been, for example, if you total up the number taken by hunting, trapping, wildlife services, and producer removal or livestock control, in 2019, we removed 366 wolves from Montana, and yet the population is still four times higher than what's required in the wolf management plan. So this bill gives another wildlife tool to wildlife managers, depending on regional recommendations, to extend a trapping season so that we can harvest more wolves in Montana and protect our ungulate populations. And of course, this is all based on recommendations that are going to be given from the regional offices to the commission. There's some question about that occurs sometimes, and opponents will bring this up about a longer wolf trapping season will get into a problem with grizzly bears. So by going to the first month, essentially the beginning of December, the first Monday after Thanksgiving, give or take a few days, and March 15th, we stay out of the huge majority of the grizzly bear activity period. I looked at what's going on in Idaho, just along the Idaho border with Montana, the wolf management units they have there. In Idaho, the wolf trapping season either opens on October 10 or November 15, earlier than what I'm proposing for Montana. And the wolf trapping season in Idaho, the wolf management units that border Montana, it runs through March 31st. And I'm looking at extending ours to March 15th. So Idaho is capable of having longer wolf trapping seasons than what I am proposing here, and they're not having conflicts with grizzly bears, which occur in Idaho as well as Montana. So my question is, if Idaho can do this to control wolf populations on their side of the border, why can't Montana do it on our side of the border? Mr. Chair, I'll turn this meeting back over to you.
Thank you, Representative Fielder. Okay, it's time now for proponents on House Bill 225. Proponents, please.
Chairman Fitzgerald, members of the committee, my name is Garrett Bacon from East Helena, spelled B-A-C-O-N, and I'm here on my own personal time to support this bill. This is a good bill. I try trapping wolves. Trying means that I haven't caught one yet, because they're slippery devils. Here's the thing. Where I trap, they're not just always hanging around. They might have a 2 or a 3 week circuit that they're on before they come back again. Well, meanwhile, every 48 hours, you're checking your traps, resetting them, cleaning out the snow, et cetera, et cetera. So you really have a very small window of chance of catching them when they come through again. So with a shortened season, you might not get that chance for them to come around the second time when you missed them the first. So this, like the sponsor said, and he covered it very well with all those statistics, we have way too many wolves, not enough time to catch them all, and the trapping is only catching a few of them compared to even the hunters, and we're still not keeping up with the management of them. So all we're asking for is just a little bit more time to get into some better seasons or just some longer seasons and just increase our odds to help keep control and management of the wolves. So I urge you to take a look at this bill and pass it, and thank you for listening.
Thank you, Mr. Bacon. Further proponents? Further proponents?
Mr. Chair, I have Jim Buell.
Mr. Buell?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members, Representative Fielder, good afternoon. My name is Jim Buell. I live northeast of Guilford, Montana.
Mr. Buell, could you Mr. Buell, could you spell your last name to affirm what we see on the screen?
Yes, sir. B as in boy, U E L L.
Thank you, sir. Proceed.
I live northeast of Guilford, Montana, and I sit as the current president of the Montana Trappers Association. And I thank you for considering my remarks here today. In looking at the bill, House Bill 225 does not set in stone the season dates for harvesting of wolves by trapper, but it does provide parameters within which the commission may authorize a wolf trapping season. House Bill 225 also strongly suggests that the commission listen to the experts, biologists, in providing, and it provides for the adjustment of these dates for specific wolf management units. And these are based on regional recommendations. And I would ask that you give 225 a due pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Buell. Further proponents on House Bill 225. Proponents.
Nothing further online, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Tack. Further proponents in the room? Seeing none. Opponents. Opponents, please, in the room.
Chairman, committee members, my name is Mark Cook. I'm with Wolves of the Rockies. That's Cook, C-O-O-K-E. Chairman Fitzgerald, I have a handout, may I?
Please.
All too often we hear, Senator Brown had a good discussion on bad things that happen to wildlife. All too often we hear about these animals that are shot and killed and left to rot. All too often we hear about trapping pets, people's dogs, people's cats. I feel that ethics in hunting and trapping in Montana is declining. And I'm not sure how to go about correcting that. But now you're being asked to extend a season for trapping of wolves. And frankly, from what I'm hearing with inside the department, and I can't reveal information because these people are afraid that the department will look down on them, is the number that's being brought forward by patch occupancy isn't that accurate. But to get back to the trapping of wolves, extending the season, wolves mate in February. Gestation is about 60 days. So when you go into March, in the middle of March, you're into midterm, late-term pregnancies for these wolves. Hunters don't like killing animals that are pregnant. And it's just a matter of time before we go on Facebook or somewhere else on the internet, and there's a picture of a dead wolf, female wolf, excuse me, with her pups beside her, and then a joke being made about, ha-ha, I went over the bag limit. That's not right. That's not Montana. That's unethical. In this very room, a year ago, on the 16th, I sat with the EQC, and they brought in a specialist named Mike Miller from the University of Colorado. He was by phone. And he made the argument that wolves can help with CWD. They can help identify the animal. They can help stop the transformation of this disease going to other animals. Why aren't we letting wolves do what they should be doing? Instead, we want to kill more. And lastly, I spoke to John Stiber from Wildlife Services, and he mentioned that last year they had an alert for feral hogs. Do you want to know why Texas has so many hogs? Because they don't have predators. We do. So they flew the border between Montana and Canada looking for these feral hogs. Thankfully, they didn't see any. My point is, we have hogs coming from the north, we have hogs coming up from the south, but yet we're going to kill more wolves. Does this make any sense? Montana is better than this. This is an ethics issue. We don't kill pregnant animals. Hunters don't like doing it. The average citizen in Montana doesn't like it. Thank you for the opportunity to speak.
Thank you, Mr. Cook. Further opponents in the room?
Mr. Chairman, representatives, my name is Stephen Capra, C-A-P-R-A. I am with Footloose Montana. We've been listening to Representative Fielder present this case, and I think a couple of things are worth noting. I spent the last week talking to a number of hunters because I wanted to get a better understanding of what was going on with hunting. And almost to a person, they said the same thing. There is not great elk hunting in northwest Montana, nor has there ever been. It's southwest Montana where elk hunting has always been good. That's not coming from me. That's coming from sportsmen. So the idea that wolves are having a major impact on this is just not factual. I would like to pass around a handout because most of what I wanted to talk about also was the issue of chronic wasting disease. The chronic wasting disease is probably one of the major impacts we're having on wildlife in our state. We know for a fact, and these are scientific studies that are showing us again and again, we need wolves to take care of the chronic wasting disease problem. We're not going to shoot our way or trap our way out of that problem. We need predators who can detect what's occurring and go to the source. Lastly, I will read a little something from you, and this is an excerpt from Todd Wilkinson's article in the Mountain Journal, December 11th, 2017. Valerius Geist is a world-renowned wildlife biologist who first put on paper the North American model of wildlife conservation. This is a quote from him, and he works at the University of Alberta. Wolves will certainly bring the disease, chronic wasting disease, to a halt, Geist said. They will remove infected individuals and clean up carcasses that could transmit the disease. The impacts of historic predator killing campaigns have been documented, and they're well aware. Geist and Princeton University biologist Andrew Dobson theorized that killing off the wolf allowed chronic wasting disease to take hold in the first place. Further, Chronic Wasting Disease Alliance observed the spread of chronic wasting disease towards Yellowstone's famed game herds alarms wildlife lovers, but two top researchers think biologists will discover powerfully an ally in the old frontier villain, the wolf. expanding this season is cruel, as you heard before. It makes no sense to kill pregnant animals. Again, so many people in the urban wildland interface of our state want to enjoy going out, as all of us do, into the wild, especially at times like this. People want to be able to enjoy nature. Again, 0.5% of the population in this state is trapping on 100% of our public lands. Giving them an additional month to kill a very important predator that could remove chronic wasting disease makes no sense. I urge you to say no to this bill.
Thank you, Mr. Capra. Further opponents in the room? Further opponents in the room? Mr. Tack, looks like we have a list here. Which one would you like to start with?
I have Nancy Austell I'll start with. I just want to throw out a quick reminder to those attending on Zoom. If you do wish to testify as an opponent for House Bill 225, please go ahead and click that raise hand button at the bottom so we make sure to get you in the queue. And I have Nancy Austell, Mr. Chair.
Miss Austell.
Austell, I apologize.
Austell, okay. Thank you, Austell. Nancy Austell.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to speak today. I am of the opinion that trapping is cruel. I got over 1,000 signatures to ban trapping on public lands when we got the measure on the ballot in 2016. I have worked for years with trappers, talking to them about ethics issues. I took 10 action items to the Fish and Wildlife Commission several years ago in an effort to reduce the likelihood of pets being trapped. And they adopted one of those 10 items, increasing some setbacks. I have made many efforts to work within the system to eliminate trapping on public lands, as I believe that the wildlife there is the property, if you want to call it that, of all citizens of the United States. And the 0.5% of people who are trapping, my friends who are hunters call that the lazy man's approach. Now, I have some game in my freezer that was given to me by a friend a couple days ago, and I didn't have the nerve to ask him, because he's a very ethical hunter, if he had it tested for chronic wasting disease. But I'm concerned about eating that food because I know how widespread CWD is becoming, even here in the Bozeman area. Apex predators are the way that nature controls the health of wildlife populations. I second Mr. Capra's comment that I believe the population numbers identified by the agency are probably unreliable. And I just want to say that as far as my opinion, I don't know how to say it nicely, but as far as I'm concerned, hatred of wolves is based on white supremacy and racism. Old white men
Austell,
are
afraid
to be replaced by the new generation.
Ms. Austell, we've got to stay on the bill. We can't make political statements here. Is that the termination of your testimony?
Would you please unmute yourself, Ms. Austell?
I think that's concluded, Ms. Austell. I think we'll move on. Again, as we go through the list here, folks, particularly you on the Zoom, please don't be redundant and refrain from repeating previous testimony. We certainly want to hear fresh opinions and ideas, but we have a limited time here today, so thank you so much in advance. Next.
Mr. Chair, I have Amy Seaman.
Ms. Seaman.
Hi there, Chairman Fitzgerald, members of the committee. Hopefully you can hear me well.
Yes, ma'am.
appreciate you all having us here to stand up in opposition to House Bill 225. And our opposition is actually a little bit more general in terms, and it really stems back to a consistent position that we've taken for decades now to avoid defining wildlife take seasons using the legislative process. Today was an awesome coverage of some of the biology behind why and how you would do season setting, and I think shows how complicated it really is. But we've always maintained it should be done through the commission process and not just a few short hearings. Of course, the bill does reference the commission role and their discretion in setting the management unit seasons. And of course, that is clarifying to a degree, but because it is their current role, we kind of consider it a bit of code clutter here. And just to comment a bit more about setting seasons in statute, you know, as well, it attracts attention to sensitive species conservation issues, as you can even see from today, especially those that have been connected with passionate conservation and also endangered species management. We don't have as many specific comments on the expanding of the season, but we do recognize that with dry and mild winters and things like that changing, there are a lot of new and changing interactions between large predators and ungulates interacting with a passive method of take. But
Ms. Seaman, are you representing Ms. Seaman? I just hate to interrupt. Are you representing Montana Audubon? I didn't quite catch that.
Oh my goodness. Yes, I actually did not clarify. Sorry. Thank you for that. Yes, I am here on behalf of Montana Audubon as our Director of Policy and Science.
Thank you, Ms. Seaman.
And the last name is Seaman, S-E-A-M-A-N. Getting back on the ball after my back surgery. Appreciate that.
Proceed.
So we just wanted to mention, you know, we've had opportunities to support season setting and legislation, as an example, back in 2015, where Senate Bill 147 would have actually created a statewide ban on sage-grouse hunting. It would definitely potentially benefit a declining species and one that was at the time under an ESA petition for listing. And at the time, definitely the decline in numbers could have indicated the need to close those seasons, but we knew that effort had already been affected through the commission process, and so actually stood up in opposition of that bill as well. And so basically on the same tenets is why we just wanted to stand up here and mention that it doesn't seem the appropriate place. And while we wish that seasons were always set purely on scientific grounds, we know the commission process really does allow more stakeholders into it, and it's essential for getting sort of the more political pieces of season setting right.
Thanks.
So with that, we would ask that you do table the bill. Our opposition is simple but pretty firm, and we appreciate the conversation happening here and the opportunity to testify.
Thank you, Ms. Seaman. Mr. Tack, next.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I have Aaron Edge.
Mr. Edge.
Or Mr.
Ma'am, Ms. Edge. Oh, sorry, my mistake.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you're a little light, but maybe step up to the mic.
Okay, it's an earbud, so I apologize for that.
Okay, go ahead and identify yourself.
Thank you for my opportunity to testify. My name is Aaron Edge, that's E-D-G-E. I live in Missoula, Montana, and work on grizzly bear and wolf conservation for Defenders of Wildlife. On behalf of our more than 5,000 members and supporters across Montana, we ask for you please to oppose House Bill 225. The current level of wolf hunting and trapping in Montana is already of concern and may be unsustainable over the long term. Total documented wolf mortality of wolves in Montana in 2019 was 394 wolves. That's 24% higher than the six-year average since 2013. The past two hunting and trapping seasons resulted in higher than average wolf mortality. Most of this increase was largely due to an increase in the number of wolves trapped in Region 1 and 2. There is simply no shortage of opportunity to hunt and trap wolves in Montana. The bill fails to consider the ecological function of wolves in Montana. Extending the season will further risk the long-term resilience of Montana's wolf population. In addition, trapping well into March does not avoid grizzly bear activity period. It risks incidental trapping of grizzly bears. Incidental trapping of grizzly bears creates a dangerous situation for trappers, Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks staff, and grizzly bears. For these reasons, we ask that you please oppose House Bill 225. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Edge. Mr. Tack?
Mr. Chair, I have Jocelyn LaRue.
Okay, is that help me out again.
Jocelyn LaRue.
Oh, Ms. LaRue, proceed.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Thanks for providing the opportunity for me to testify here today. My name is Jocelyn LaRue, and I'm the Montana Director for Western Watersheds Project. House Bill 225 is just an anti-wildlife bill, and specifically anti-wolf bill, that's introduced by Representative Fielder. This bill, like others, is not based on scientific understanding of Montana's wildlife and native ecosystems, but is instead intended to provide more power for the small minority of Montanans that identify as trappers. Native wildlife, including wolves, are an important aspect of what makes Montana the last best place and should be managed in a way that reflects accurate scientific understanding and the desires of more than a select few. Wolves are a key part of Montana's ecosystems, and we've seen the benefits that they provide in Yellowstone National Park. People come from all over to see native wildlife and healthy functioning ecosystems in the park and throughout Montana. Contrary to what proponents say, wolves have not decreased ungulate populations. Rather, they alter the habits of native ungulates, which ends up benefiting vegetation, songbirds, and stream systems. Further, this attack on wolves does not factor in the key role that wolves play in keeping the spread of chronic wasting disease in check. Research has found that wolves can and do select for members of a herd infected by CWD, thus increasing the health of Montana's deer and elk herds. Why would anyone want to limit a natural solution for curbing this terrible disease? Finally, the expansion of the wolf trapping season is simply inexplicable. The extension of the season on both sides does nothing except to expose wolves and other non-target wildlife to the cruelty of trapping for even longer than they already are. Killing more wolves will not solve problems with livestock, despite the misinformation that is readily spewed about the effectiveness of lethal control of wolves. In fact, hunting and trapping wolves often serves to increase depredation, as it can disrupt pack structure, causing wolves to seek easier sources of food. Beyond the impacts to wolves, the expansion of the trapping season could put grizzly bears, a species listed as threatened under the Endangered Species Act, at great risk. Grizzly bears head towards their dens in the late fall, often during the month of November. By moving the date of wolf trapping season up, you're increasing the chance of trapping a threatened grizzly bear. Further, as Aaron stated, grizzly bears often emerge from their dens in March, again, increasing the risk of incidental trapping on this end of the season. This bill is unacceptable and will only harm what so many love about Montana, our wildlife, public lands, and stunning ecosystems. Please oppose House Bill 225. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. LaRue. Next.
Mr. Chair, I have Nick Jivak.
Mr. Jivak, proceed.
Mr. Chairman and members of the House FWP Committee, I'm Nick Jivak, and I'm here representing the Montana Wildlife Federation. Right off the bat, we do agree with the sponsor that trapping is a management tool for wolves. However, we are opposed to this bill. And we're opposed to it because it essentially does nothing that current law doesn't allow the State Fish and Wildlife Commission to do. If you look throughout this statute that it's altering, there's one thing you don't see in there, and that are specific season dates. And that's there for a reason. Just some quick history. You know, the Montana Wildlife Federation does support ethical and fair chase hunting and trapping of wolves. And in fact, you know, we helped write the 2011 delisting rider that removed wolves from the federal endangered species list and restore state management. That said, our wolf seasons are structured the way they are for a reason. They're meant to allow liberal wolf hunting and trapping opportunities while also ensuring that we maintain state authority to manage this species. Montana's done a good job with wolf management. We're showing a strong harvest throughout the state and particularly in Northwest Montana. And that's not surprising. They do have the highest pack densities up there. We clearly disagree with the suggestion in the bill that we should open trapping in early December and close it in mid-March. We think that's ill-advised. Those dates would sharply increase the potential for incidental catch of grizzly bears while they're either still out or emerging from their dens. And we have a far more robust grizzly population than Idaho. So I don't really think that's a good analogy. If you get a grizzly bear in a wolf trap, that would be bad for the bear and bad for the trapper. And that was considered when we structured our current wolf trapping season dates. So, and finally, as again, we don't support writing specific season dates in state statute or season structures. And just as a matter of consistency, we opposed writing wolf buffer zones along the national parks because, again, you're writing seasons into statute. So finally, you know what? So while this bill doesn't mandate those dates, it does suggest it. Let's keep our current law, maintain state management of wolves, and not add unneeded language to state code. Please vote no on this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jevok.
Mr. Chair, I have Deborah Taylor.
Ms. Taylor.
Thank you, Chairman and committee and senators. Thank you for allowing me to testify on HB 225. My name is Deborah Taylor, T-A-Y-L-O-R. I'd like to say I'm a retired medical librarian, a medical research librarian, and I spent 6 months of focus on prion disease, but I'm going to very barely touch that at the end. My roots go back to my great-grandfather having one of the largest ranches in western South Dakota. And so my mother was born there and my cousins, and they still have ranches, and my sister still has a ranch. And I have a lot of relatives, mostly down the Wilson line in Montana and Wyoming. And I don't really want to go up there. I am currently calling my home in Divide, Colorado at this moment. Because it reminds me of the Black Hills. But I'm here to speak against 225 for very particular reasons. I'm retired. My husband and I spend a lot of money on traveling throughout the country here to wildlife organizations. We belong to birding groups. We belong to photography groups. And I have no desire to go to Wyoming at this time with all the extended trapping. I'm getting back to this. I'd like to say to point out that grizzly bears also hibernate from anywhere in mid-November or early November to any time in late March. And I believe that this expanded trapping would severely affect the foraging of the grizzlies. On reading some articles on the internet, Grizzly Mama Bear 399, who has a following of, depending on which website you go, but her articles have been seen by over a million people, and they had a lot of stories about people traveling to Montana to get a quick look at them from wildlife outfitters. They didn't go into hibernation until January. This expansion of trapping bill would have possibly affected them if it were in their area. So harm to 399 or any other grizzlies will bring about more wrath and more misguided hate and fear of wolves. And that is something that is not needed for Montana. Traps are killing indiscriminately. And I believe that this bill should be voted down and tabled or just should not pass. And that if you have as much growing chronic wasting disease up there as we have in Colorado, you need every single predator you can have because those deer and elk drool. And that drool is loaded with prions. Just letting you know. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor. Let me remind our testimonials that we don't need any redundancy, repeating of facts that have already been stated on the record. So please note that and give us fresh opinions, fresh information, and please try to refrain from repeating previous testimony. Mr. Leck. Mr. Tack, what's next?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I have Chester Watson.
Okay. proceed.
This is Chester Watson, W-A-T-S-O-N. Thank you, committee members, for allowing some testimony from the public. I reside in Missoula, and I give thanks for this time and opportunity to strongly oppose HB 225, as written and as presented. It only benefits a very small, narrow group of Montana residents and serves to add pressure onto a vital apex wildlife component known as wolves. This bill also targets wolves on the border of national parks. It was just protected last year, these borders, and why do we need to change that in such a short time? I am a Montana resident and landowner. I'm a licensed hunter, trapper, and fisherman. I question the agenda of Paul Fielder and his very small group of vested interest supporters.
Mr. Watson, please, Mr. Watson, please don't refer and to proper names. Let's just stick to the bill and your points, sure. Please.
Sure. There are very few and small amount of people that will be benefited by this HB 225. The bill amendment continues a pattern of overzealous pandering to trophy hunting and trapping interests and represents a power grab for trappers and trophies. How many non-targeted animals will die as a result of an extended trapping season? Wyoming and other states have proven that a healthy wolf population encouraged more robust elk, moose, and deer populations. There is no sound reason for this other than to cater to trappers and trophy hunters. What about the rest of us that aren't trappers and trophy hunters, that we do it out of a hobby and not out of something we call our income? I cannot find any significant or meaningful data from FWP, hunters, ranchers, or science that shows a need to extend the wolf season in order to kill more wolves. I do not find significant and meaningful data from scientific research that shows that trapping of wolves leads directly to more livestock deprivation by the destruction of wolf packs. And what we do know about wolves, based on science, is we know they evolved as a self-regulating apex predator with intricate social structures and breeding behaviors that are disrupted by killing the wrong wolves, which can lead to more wolves, increasing depredation, and enhancing the problems caused by the current wolf hate-based management. As written in this amendment, allowing adjustments based on regional recommendations will be cheered by wolf haters and trappers. How is killing wolves year-round better wildlife management? Be honest, this is just about killing wolves by very few people. Wolf traps are indiscriminate. Mountain lions and other non-target wildlife will die, not to mention livestock and domestic animals drawn to scent and meat. Today, there's approximately 134,557 elk in Montana. That's 25% over the objective. This amendment is written only to satisfy wolf-hating populations. If wolf cattle degradation is truly a rancher's financial issue, let's force the Montana Livestock Loss Board to add further funds to their trust and generate more money to pay ranchers. This has worked in other states. Why not Montana? We also need to encourage non-lethal methods to deter losses from mountain lions, grizzlies, and wolves. Or is it the intent to wipe out all these animals as well? My final thought is we should table this bill. Let us stop adding management to the high-level operations at FWP and instead start funding real field workers to get out in the field to enforce and regulate that which is already working in Montana. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Watson. We're going to have to limit testimony to a couple of minutes here. We've been some of the testimony 4 and 5 minutes, and I want to give everybody an ample chance to at least say some fresh thoughts and opinions. So with that, Mr. Tack.
Mr. Chair, I have Fred DeLepper.
Mr. DeLepper, proceed. Mr. DeLepper?
You may have to unmute yourself.
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go ahead and identify yourself. Spell your name and who you represent, please.
Fred DeLepper, single individual, DeLepper, Kalispell, Montana. My family, German Shepherd, got caught in a trap last year. I'm going to ask you, please, please, vote this bill down. Okay, we can do better in Montana. Trapping is marginally regulated already. I use Alaska as the gold standard for trapping. I could roam the woods there many, many, many days without having any issues. Traps would be marked. They would have the person's name on it. You would know there were traps in the area. In Montana, trappers have great leniency to do what they're doing. Extending their season, many, many more sentient beings will suffer miserably in traps. We also know that we have more people walking around in the woods recreating than ever before. I plead again, vote this down. Because out of public safety concerns alone, extending the trapping season will only lead to more misery for non-target animals and wildlife alike. Thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you, Mr. DeLepper. Next in the queue, Mr. Tack.
Mr. Chair, I have Derek Goldman.
Mr. Goldman.
Yeah, hi, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. How's my audio here?
Very good. Go proceed.
Thank you. Derek Goldman, and I'm the Northern Rockies representative with the Endangered Species Coalition. Well, some of the other opponents took some of my points, so I've significantly cut down my testimony for you. I know you have other business. Just a couple points I wanted to make. I've been working on wildlife conservation issues in Montana for a number of years, and I know some of you, but I think it was back in 2013 when then-Senator Joe Balliet chaired the Senate Fish and Game Committee, and he brought a similar bill. I think at the time it was more about hunting to extend the season. And when Senator Balliet, you know, realized the image of potential very pregnant mother wolves or pups being the image of them being killed and potentially displayed in the national media and the black eye that would bring our state, is he cut down the ending, the tail end of the hunting season. He backed that off for that reason. And I fear with this bill, that extra 2 week period, we could have the same impact here. I know when hunters are out there, you know, they can see a wolf and decide, you know, if it's a pup, I'm not going to shoot it. If it's a pregnant wolf, I'm not going to shoot it. But with the traps, it's indiscriminate. And that decision there's no chance to make that decision. You know, secondly, that 2 week period between the end of hunting season and then leading into December, I think that's when a lot of families in Montana like to go out and get their Christmas trees in the woods, and they're bringing their kids and they're bringing their dogs. So it's a critical 2 week period where there's an opportunity for trapping accidents to happen that way. And then the same thing on the tail end, that spring end of the season, that's when it's starting to get spring and people are starting to go out and recreate again with their dogs. And I think you're asking for more conflict there. Finally, I'm looking at the 2020 FWP's 2020 Wolf Annual Report. I think probably the same graph that the sponsor passed around the table to you. But it looks, as I'm looking at it, our wolf population peaked in 2013 and has been trending down since and has kind of leveled off the last couple of years. And at the same time, the harvest line has continued to climb since 2013. So I really think this bill is a solution looking for a problem. The trappers are doing a great job killing wolves right now. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Goldman. Again, brevity is positive. Mr. Leck, next.
Mr. Chair, I have Margareta Morrow.
Ms. Morrow, go ahead.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, representatives, and members of the committee. My name is Margareta Morrow. That is spelled M-A-R-R-O. I am a resident of Whitefish, Montana. The House Bill 225, introduced by Representative Fielder, demonstrates that Representative Fielder is again aligned with special interest groups and not the majority of Montanans, once again. He started the introduction today by clearly stating that the key is to kill more wolves. Wolves, as you all know, are our moneymakers. Tourists want to see wolves in the woods. They want to see them. They want to photograph them. They don't want to see trappers running around. To sponsor and push forward an amendment that allows for more wolf killing needs to be supported by factual numbers of animals in each region, not guessing games and wishful thinking. I said it before, your POM is not accurate as your Fish, Wildlife and Parks Wildlife Division team is cherry-picking what numbers are being fed to the system. And the result that you guys get and that you have in front of you are inaccurate numbers that don't even closely represent the actual truth of the wolf population. If I even consider that these numbers would be correct, then you would hear and you would read more about wolf sightings, tourists, pictures. You would see them more on social media, but that is not happening. This amendment inappropriately provides the Fish, Wildlife, and Parks commissioners who represent hunters and trappers, again, not my words, these were the words of Representative Fielder, not the non-consumptive community, to continue the personal war on wolves by providing them with a right to extend the trapping and snaring season. And all of this to support, again, a group of individuals engaged in the inherently dangerous practice of trapping and snaring on our public lands. This amendment will be used by the commissioners to ensure that there is a longer trapping season based on inaccurate numbers that results into trapping of pregnant females. Biologists, such as Representative Fielder, know that spring is the time female wolves are halfway through their pregnancy. Yet, they still try to push this bill through. This bill is a death sentence for pregnant wolves and their unborn babies. The amendment states that the regional recommendations will be taken into consideration. So here is one of our main problems. Now that you all approved to get more commissioners on board and Representative Fielder multiple times mentioned during the hearing and bill introduction that the commissioners will represent the hunters and trappers and not the majority of Montanans, guess what their recommendation will
be? Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Point of personal privilege. Can we try and keep this to the bill?
Yes. Ms. Morrow, can you wrap it up, please? We're running out of time.
Absolutely.
You bet. Thank you very much.
So this amendment to House Bill 225 makes it very clear that Representative Fielder and his trappers only care about killing as many wolves as possible by starting earlier and ending trapping season later. How will you explain to your children and grandchildren that we as a state passed a bill that allows for pregnant animals and their babies to be killed? Please keep that in mind when considering how to cast your vote for this unethical bill, as you all represent all Montanans and not only special interest groups. As a Republican and a resident of Montana, I urge you to please vote against House Bill 225.
Thank you, Ms. Morrow. Thank you very much. Mr. Tack, next up.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I have Inga Gibson.
Ms. Gibson, please proceed. Please identify yourself, spell your name, and who you represent, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Inga Gibson, G-I-B-S-O-N, a private individual, but I also have my own conflict resolution consulting agency specializing in mediation conflict resolution and have dealt a lot with human-wildlife conflicts. I won't repeat anything that's been said, but two things I did want to just point out that I have found that I think you may understand both with the opposition and those proponents of this measure is that HB 225 is premature. There seems to be a lot of discussion required regarding the science. We're in dispute on the basic facts, the science that's been presented. So we believe that this measure is essentially premature and it's not something that can't be revisited in the future. But it's also unnecessary. This is something that can be addressed under state management guidelines. This is not something that must be within the purview of the legislature. We know you already have so many other issues to consider. So when I work with my clients and organizations and resolving conflict, you know, one of the first things that we try to focus on is getting together and recognizing the problem. But we have to be able to understand and appreciate, be on the same page about the basics of the science. And I think there are just too many factors that are out on this issue. And I would hate for the committee to have to feel that they would have to make a decision when there are so many other things that need to be considered. I would instead encourage the committee to use this time, table this measure, and use this time to really let science guide your decision making, and also to conduct a cost-benefit analysis of some of the really important things that a number of folks have raised, you know, the non-consumptive value of these animals, their value to reducing CWD and other wildlife diseases, and their value to tourism. In my work, there's been a lot of agencies that have initially thought that there would be a greater benefit in recreational activities, sport hunting, trophy hunting, that have in turn gone the other way because they've realized that these animals are so much more valuable economically and otherwise if they are left on the landscape protected. So in closing, we believe this measure is premature. It's unnecessary. The state already has the authority to make the changes that are proposed. And we would urge that you table the measure and instead let science guide the committee further.
Thank you, Ms. Gibson. We appreciate it. Next up on the queue, Mr. Tack.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I have Micah Kosterhaus.
Okay, Micah Kosterhaus, please proceed.
Mr. Chairman and members of the House Committee, thank you for your time and consideration. My name is Mika Kosterhaus, C-O-S-T-E-R-O-U-S-S-E, and I purchased a home in the northernmost area of Region 2 in the summer of 2019 for two reasons. For my health, and so I can live nearer to wolves where I can enjoy seeing and hearing them in the wild. I'm already unhappy that trapping, archaic as it is and as indiscriminate as it is, takes place for 2.5 months of the year here in Montana. But now that some lawmakers and groups supporting those lawmakers believe trapping season should be extended to 3.5 months, I'm infuriated. Trapping prior to December 15th produces poor pelts. Trapping after February 28th may kill midterm pregnant wolves. What's the point if only to kill more wolves just because? Trapping is inhumane and inherently non-selective. They injure and kill countless non-target animals, including pets. Why is it that the groups supporting these bills aren't considering the value of living wolves? It isn't as if they haven't been presented with evidence to prove a wolf's worth. It seems apparent they simply don't want to acknowledge a wolf's value. Wolves are essential. And I'm sorry that I'm repeating what others have said, but they target sick and injured ungulates, including those with chronic wasting disease. In other words, wolves can help manage chronic wasting disease as they are not susceptible to the disease and can help reduce the transmission of the disease by killing and consuming sick animals.
Ms. Kosterhaus, have you got any new information we could hear?
No one has provided a sufficient evidence-based reason to support why wolf trapping season should be extended. I've read articles in the media in which Representative Fielder has said that hunters in northwest Montana claim an overpopulation of wolves is affecting deer and elk numbers in Region 1, and wolf numbers should be reduced to save deer, elk, and moose in that area. However, a report on the Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks website dated August 20th of 2020 does not necessarily support these claims.
Thank you for your information, Ms. Kosterhaus. We're over 3 minutes here, so we're going to have you wrap up here in the next sentence.
I'm trying. I have cognitive impairment. I apologize. Public lands are my lands, too. If wolves can be trapped on public lands for 2.5 months of the year, then my voice should be heard when I say I don't want trapping season extended by an additional month. Please consider the value of living wolves and oppose House Bill 225. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thank you, Ms. Kosterhaus. Next up, Mr. Tack.
Mr. Chair, I have Jennifer Sherry.
Ms. Sherry, please proceed.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Jennifer Sherry, last name spelled S-H-E-R-R-Y. I live in Bozeman, and I'm speaking on behalf of the Natural Resources Defense Council in opposition of House Bill 225. I support the views shared by those opponents who spoke before me, so I will keep this brief. This bill does not have a demonstrated need, especially as the number has been steadily increasing in recent years. And the extension of the trapping season would increase the risk of grizzly bears being caught in traps, especially as bear specialists and researchers are taking note of grizzly bears that are entering dens a little later in the year or emerging earlier in response to changing food availability and warmer spring temperatures. For these reasons and other reasons we've heard laid out today, I urge you to vote against this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Sherry.
Thank you.
Mr. Tack.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I have Susan Cronenberger.
Okay, Ms. Cronenberger, proceed.
Mr. Chair and women and men of the committee, my name is Susan Cronenberger, K-R-O-N-E-N-B-E-R-G-E-R. I agree with most of the points already mentioned. I will keep this brief.
Ms. Cronenberger, your location and who you represent?
I'm speaking just for myself. I live in Helena.
Thank you.
I want to just go to the point that has been made about that trapping is indiscriminate, and it is also unmonitored, and there's no way that we can ever know the number or the kind of animals that are killed and injured in traps. I'm glad I was part of listening to the earlier discussion on the other bill about poaching. Rightly so, when someone poaches an animal, there are strong repercussions. But we have no way of knowing what animals or endangered species are killed or maimed with trapping. And this should be noted. There should be a way to monitor that. I know that lengthening the season will cause more killing, not only of wolves, but of unintended targets. The other thing I want to emphasize again is that put emphasis on is, again, it's this very small number of trappers, a small percentage of the population. Persons like myself, and we are thousands and thousands, as have been noted by so many organizations speaking today. A lot of us go into the woods and on trails for enjoyment, rest, solace, comfort, but trapping for me has added this ominous element. When my husband and I hike in the woods on public land, we now carry cable cutters. We have to anticipate that there may be lethal weapons that will harm our dog or other dogs or even people. It is no longer as restorative to be in the woods as it once was. Just in the past 3 weeks, two of my friends have been in communication with me because their dog or a friend's dog was injured in a trap. So I feel that I just oppose it, and I support so many of the other points already made. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Cronenberger. Appreciate it. Next up, Mr. Tack.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I have Karen Mahuna.
Ms. Mahuna.
You may be muted, Ms. Mahuna.
Okay. Hi. My name is Corinne Mahuna. Last name Mahuna, M-A-H-U-N-A. I live in Colorado, and I'm representing myself. So thank you, Chairman and committee members, for the opportunity to testify today. I have spent many days backpacking in the backcountry of Montana, and I will be moving to Montana within the next few months. I am strongly opposed to the extension of the wolf hunting season for many reasons. I love Montana, as do many others, because it is home to many of the last true wilderness areas in the U.S. Wilderness cannot be considered such without the full scope of inhabitants, including wolves, grizzlies, black bears, mountain lions, and such. Without these, it becomes nothing more than a game farm or a glorified Central Park. Indeed, if the wolf trapping season is expanded and other anti-wolf and anti-predator legislation is passed, I am afraid the area will become so tamed, so to speak, and that it will be invite a flood of newcomers who will drive up land prices, fragment the land, develop suburban areas, and generally destroy Wild Montana. I am also concerned that the increased month that trappers spend zooming around on snowmobiles in the backcountry will be detrimental to the health of all wildlife, including elk and deer. It is already a challenge for them to find adequate nutrition and conserve their energy in the winter months. Studies have shown that snowmobiles increase their heart rate, stress levels, and cause them to take flight. Have you consulted with your wildlife biologist?
Ms. Mahuna, can we stick to the bill instead of snowmobiles? So we've got about 30 seconds. 30 seconds left for you.
Trappers use snowmobiles, and so how it affects how the environment and the animals. It's detrimental to the health. Oh, where? Now you've caught. Okay.
I'm sorry.
Wait a second now. You interrupted me, and I've lost my place, okay? And have you consulted with your wildlife biologists, and do they have the data and analysis to determine what kind of impact the extended trapping season would have on deer and elk and how that will affect their recruitment and future hunting opportunities? Further, what impact does the extended season have on funding for search and rescue? Representative Fielder had to be rescued following a snowmobile mishap while out trapping. How many others have? I imagine if
Mr. Chair, this is clearly off the bill.
Ms. Mahuna, can you wrap it up here down to your conclusion? I think we've got the message. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Sorry, we're short of time here. I apologize. Mr. Tack.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I have Kate.
Repeat.
Are we to stating name?
You're muted, Mr. Tech.
I apologize. A space bar wasn't. Casey York, Mr. Chair.
Casey, Mr. York, go ahead, please. Ms. York, unmute. Here. There you go.
Okay, thank you. Hold on just a second, please. Trying to. All right. This is Casey York with Trap Free Montana Public Lands, and out of the Bitterroot. I'm just still having some trouble here. The Montana Wildlife Commission recently rejected a similar, more conservative, increased wolf trapping season proposal, and for good reasons. So instead, will you justify to your constituents enabling these massive 10-pound leg hole traps that are set for wolves that have jaw spreads of 9 inches, that take someone weighing close to 200 pounds or more to open them, to be baited and secreted in Montana on our precious public lands now from 75 days to over 105 days with this proposal for 3.5 months of wolf trapping, using the same bait and lures that attract our dogs? And what about to the ESA for the trapping of protected grizzlies who have not gone into hibernation, as others mentioned, or have come out during this proposed trapping period, as indicated as early as February in the documents that I submitted to all of you, along with records of grizzlies who have been caught in traps and traps set for wolves in Montana, in addition to all the other collateral damage victims? How will you justify these serious risks when the evidence shows in Montana more wolves are being trapped and killed annually? And what other species in Montana do we manage to reduce them to the minimum? Elk and deer, as others mentioned, remain within objectives, with most of the state well over objectives, so much that elk hunting seasons ran for 6 months to reduce them. Nature is responding with increasing CWD, including in Region 1, where wolves are getting hammered. Montana appears in serious competition with Idaho and Wyoming to put us at the bottom of the barrel when it comes to trapping and management of wolves, attempting to enshrine unjust maltreatment and devoid of science into Montana law.
Ms. York, can you wrap it up here? We've got 2 minutes for you. Can you wrap it up, please?
Yes. Last sentence. Thank you, Chair. Mark Montanans will not stand for this. I have no doubt. And our tourism revenue will plummet if this is to pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. York. Next up on the queue, Mr. Tack.
I have no further opponents in queue, Mr. Chair.
My goodness. Okay. All right. Any other opponents walk in while I wasn't looking? Seeing none, informational witnesses.
Mr. Chair, I have Quentin Kujula.
Mr. Kujula.
Chair Fitzgerald and other members of the committee, for the record, again, my name is Quentin Kujula. I'm fortunate to be Chief of Staff for Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. And I'm here today representing the department as an informational witness on House Bill 225. And in that capacity, Chair Fitzgerald will stand for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kujula. Stand by. Questions from the committee? Yes, Representative Logie.
Mr. Chair, a question for Ms. Cronenberger.
Ms. Cronenberger, are you still there?
Just tracking on the list. Give me one second here, Mr. Chair.
Ms. Cronenberger, okay.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, Ms. Cronenberger. Representative Logie has a question.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Cronenberger, as a landowner, I was just curious, were those dogs that were caught in the traps, how long was their leash, or were they on a leash?
I don't know for sure. One of the traps was near Rimini, Montana. One was near Boulder, Montana.
Thank you.
Representative Logie. Any further questions? No. Representative Hinkle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the informational witness, Mr. Kujula.
Mr. Kujula.
Thank you, Chair Fitzgerald, Representative Hinkle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Mr. Kujula. So we've heard quite a bit of testimony on chronic wasting disease. And just kind of briefly as you can, what are the different ways that disease can be transmitted when we're talking about ungulates? And I will qualify that question with, because I have come across information in the past that even the disease can be transmitted by birds. So I'm just wondering about the mode of transmission. Is it, you know, deer rubbing up against each other? Is it feeding off of areas that have been infected with the disease? How is it transmitted?
Chair Fitzgerald, Representative Hinkle, yes. To those things that you identified, let me be more specific. The infectious agent is a prion. It's a very resilient protein in the environment. It's transferred between live animals through body fluids. That includes grooming, nose-to-nose contact, et cetera, et cetera. As a long-lived infectious agent, an animal dies or is killed, that prion can persist in the soil and in the vegetation for long periods of time, to the point of something picking up and carrying a prion. You know, if a piece of, for example, a piece of carcass is picked up from point A and moved to point B, that infectious prion then would move from point A to point B. Mr. Chair.
Thank you. And follow up, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair, Mr. Kujula. It can be transmitted through feces, then, if it's consumed by a bird or a predator or something like that, even if it doesn't particularly affect that species, as in that species gets sick and dies from it, it can still be transferred or transmitted by that species. Is that correct?
Chair Fitzgerald, Representative Hinkle, it is believed that as a prion passes through a digestive system, that starts the erosion process. You know, whether or not it would conclude the erosion to non-infection, I think is more a matter of question from species and its digestive system to another. Chair.
Thank you. And then, go ahead. Were you finished? Or
no, I just wanted to make sure. I wanted to ask Representative Hinkle if that answered your question.
I think so. Mr. Chair, if I can call up another individual.
Representative Hinkle.
Mr. Capra, I believe, with Footloose, Montana.
Yes, Mr. Capra, please come to the podium. Representative Hinkle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Mr. Capra. I was just looking through this document that you presented here, this article, and just a peculiar statement in there. I was wondering if you could clarify for me. It's on page 5, and it's right above the photo of the wolves laying in the snow there. And the paragraph above it basically talks about mad cow disease in sheep, and then you know, animal died, it may have lain on the ground for a while in absence of predators and scavengers, which would usually clean up the carcass. But then the next sentence says that elk and deer must have calcium, he said, and they may have eaten the bones of a contaminated animal and spread the disease. And I'm just wondering if you could clarify what is meant by that.
Chairman and Representative Hinkle, again, I'm not the author of that article. That was some very qualified people who wrote that, and so I don't know that I can directly answer your question. I would like to get back to you if I can find out more information on it.
Thank you. I'll do that. Yeah, and the article is from the New York Times, so I understand. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Capra. Representative France.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd just like to say for the record that I really appreciate that.
Mr. Chair, it's very difficult to hear Mr. France.
Can you shed one of those masks? Closer. There you go.
Right, we'll do better.
Thank you, Representative France. Well,
I'd just like to say for the record that I appreciate that Representative Fielder is bringing these bills in good faith. Certainly his reputation seems to have preceded him in some way that I've missed, but I've also appreciated, and I think we've heard three bills that he's made excellent presentations, made factual presentations, and I think I voted for two of them. That's certainly not, I'm not saying how I'm going to vote on this bill quite yet, but I just want to stand up for the good faith of Mr. Representative Fielder and all the legislators here in terms of bills that they bring and trying to represent points of view of their constituents and their beliefs in how Montana should manage its wildlife.
Thank you, Representative France. Normally we would do that during the executive, but that's very complimentary. Thank you.
Well, I think it's important that the witnesses that have testified hear that too.
Okay. Thank you, Representative France. Representative Putnam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This question's for Mr. Kujula.
Mr. Kujula.
Chair Fitzgerald, Representative Putnam.
Chair Fitzgerald, Mr. Kujula, is there any chance that you can provide us with data on the elk, deer, and moose populations over the past 20 years in Montana, or at least estimates of those?
Chair Fitzgerald, Representative Putnam, we can certainly get what we have with respect to those topics, those details to the committee. We would get those to you as quickly as we can through staff, if that works, Ms. Representative.
Thank you.
Representative Novak.
Mr. Chair, I have a question for Mr. Kujula.
Mr. Kujula.
This is just to...
Representative Novak, go ahead.
Jump in the gun, sorry. This is just to tail off of Representative Putman's question. I was curious on those same numbers, but is there any way that we could have it broken down into regions to see if there's higher populations or lower populations within those specific regions?
Mr. Kujula.
Chair Fitzgerald, Representative Novak, we will certainly try to put that filter through that information.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Kujula. Representative Rexton.
Mr. Chair, I have a follow-up question for Mr. Kujula.
Mr. Kujula.
Chair Fitzgerald, and I'm sorry, I didn't hear the representative.
Representative Rexton.
Thank you.
Mr. Kujula, Mr. Chair, Mr. Kujula, can you give us, I know that Mr. Fielder provided us information on wolf counts. Can you provide us information or any further information on wolves by region and how, because one of the tenets that he presented was that the young moose and deer and so forth are being eaten. by wolves in certain areas. Do you have any data on that?
Mr. Kujula.
Chair Fitzgerald, Representative Rexton, we can certainly add that question to the information requests we've already heard. What I have in hand right now is the same statewide scale that Representative Fielder referenced, and I can ask staff to break that down by region, Representative Rexton, if that works for you.
Thank you. That would be great.
Thank you, Mr. Kujula. Further questions? Yes, Representative Burgley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question for, let's go Mr. Capra.
Mr. Capra.
Mr. Chair.
Representative, I feel kind of popular today, so thank you.
I think Mr. Kujula might have that honor so far, so yeah. I wanted to even it out. Mr. Chair, Mr. Capra, do you keep any statistics on pets killed by wolves or other species that we've talked about being trapped, for instance, mountain lions? Do you guys have any studies or are you familiar with any numbers that would indicate number of those species killed by wolves?
No, but that's certainly something I could look
into. To the chair.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair, sorry. And Mr. Chair, Representative, no, I don't. We know that there's obviously some take that occurs from that. I don't know that the take equals that of what has happened with dogs caught in traps. I will be happy to look into that, and I will be happy to respond to you on that.
Mr. Chair, I'd appreciate any information.
You bet. Representative Renan Wolf.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Question for Mr. Kujula.
Mr. Kujula.
Chair Fitzgerald, Representative Running Wolf.
Representative Running Wolf.
Good to hear from you. Thanks, Mr. Chair. Mr. Kujula, right now, does it allow, is there a limit when the commission, can the commission right now set the season for trapping wolves?
Mr. Kujula.
Chair Fitzgerald, Representative Running Wolf, yes.
Follow up,
Mr. Representative Running Wolf.
Okay, and I kind of heard something in testimony earlier in the opening, Mr. Chair, and I just wanted Mr. Kujula to verify it. Does hunting season, including the shoulder season, late season hunts, and the second week or the Sunday after Thanksgiving?
Chair Fitzgerald, Representative Running Wolf, the general firearm season, maybe it's better to say the statewide firearm season for deer and elk, ends by definition that the commission has adopted for a long time now, the definition that season would end the Sunday after Thanksgiving, the Sunday immediately following Thanksgiving. The way the calendar works, you know, that sometimes leaves a couple of days in November left over. It ends no later, again, the way the calendar works, than December 1. You, Representative Running Wolf, you also reference shoulder seasons. Those are firearm seasons, typically for antlerless elk. They are not... They may fall across a large swath of the state, but they are not statewide from border to border like the general firearm season. And where they are applied, those seasons can run until February 15th, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you.
Further questions from the committee?
Yes. Mr. Chair?
Oh. Yes, Representative Marlier.
Why, thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Running Wolf asked part of my question, but the rest of my question is for Mr. Kujula.
Mr. Kujula.
Chair Fitzgerald, Representative Marler.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Kujula, well, given that trapping is a management tool that's already being used in Montana, and given, as you just said, for Representative Running Wolf, that the Fish and Wildlife Commission has the authority to set the trapping dates, what would the effect of this bill be?
Chair Fitzgerald, Representative Marler, it certainly points in a pragmatic sense, Representative Marler, to a starting point in the conversation. The conversation I'm referencing is the wolf season process with the Fish and Wildlife Commission. It would be seen, and we've seen the staff, seeing these kind of bills, if adopted, would make sure that the commission recognized that the legislature had this conversation pointing to these specific dates. Representative Marler, Mr. Chairman.
Follow up.
Representative Marler, does that answer your question?
Mr. Chair, I just want to clarify that, in other words, there's nothing preventing the Fish and Wildlife Commission from having this conversation.
Mr. Kujula.
Chair Fitzgerald, Representative Marler, no.
Thank you.
Further questions from the committee? Yes, Representative France.
Mr. Chair, one of the witnesses referred to Alaska as having the gold standard by way of trapping regulations and statutes, and I don't quite have the time to investigate, but I would hope Ms. Stockwell might provide us with just a little synopsis on how Alaska is handling it, because I think that would be germane to see how other states are doing.
Either Ms. Stockwell or maybe Mr. Kujula may have more access to those, but either way,
that would be helpful. And then I would just say that I'm hopeful that the sponsor, perhaps I can ask him a question, but I'd like him to address what the real need is for this bill, given that the commission already has this season-setting authority.
Representative Fielder, can you briefly answer that question? We're about ready to close.
Mr. Chair, Representative France, the commission does have that authority to do this. And I believe the legislature also has some authority, too. The reason this bill is being brought forward is a year ago in the fall, so maybe, 15 months ago, the Region 1 of the Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks had a big series of extensive sportsmen's meetings. And the message came loud and clear from those message meetings in Region 1 that we have too many wolves in Region 1 and we don't have enough deer, elk, and moose. And those deer, elk, and moose populations are declining. So Region 1 worked with the sportsmen and came up with recommendations that they took to the Fish, Wildlife, and Parks Commission. One of those recommendations was increasing the wolf trapping season, increasing the wolf hunting season, and another one was to increase the personal individual harvest. And the commission rejected all of those recommendations. So on behalf of the sportsmen in Region 1, which includes my district, I'm bringing this issue back to the legislature so that we can see if we can do what has not been done, but what the sportsmen really want to be done.
Representative Logie, are you leaning?
Mr. Chair, for Mr. Fielder.
Representative Fielder.
Mr. Chair, Representative Logie.
Mr. Chair, Representative, were you aware also that Region 2, the four western districts of Region 2, were trying to request the same? Did you realize that the four western districts in Region 2 were also trying to request that? Were you aware of that?
I was, Mr. Chair, Representative Logie, I wasn't following Region 2 very closely. I was following Region 1. That's where I live, and that's who I worked with, those regional biologists in that office on these recommendations. And the sportsmen in Region 1 were very disappointed that the commission didn't take the recommendation from the regional biologists in Region 1. And during my campaign, that's a message I heard loud and clear, that we want these recommendations to help Region 1 to be enacted.
Representative Phelan.
Mr. Chair, Representative Fielder, so should this, on page 1, line 12, should that say, shall the commission shall fix these seasons, or because you've got May, so they can if they want, right?
Representative Fielder.
Yes. Mr. Chair, Representative Phelan, you say this is on page 1, line 2?
12. I'm sorry.
I read line 12, says fixed seasons. Maybe I'm not looking at the same line you are. I'm sorry.
Through the chair, boys.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
It's line 12 right here. I got it underlined. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, Representative Phelan, that's a portion of the statute that I didn't change or do anything with. That was the original language. So the commission may do this, and it's under my impression that the legislature may also.
That answer your question, Representative Phelan, or we
should be clarifying.
Need maybe we can discuss it during executive
action. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, would you care to close, Representative Fielder, please?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I apologize for keeping you here on such a long issue on this one bill. There were a number of things that were brought up, questions that I would like to address, but I got to do them in a real timely manner, so I'm just going to try to fly through them. First of all, there was a question about the quality of the data, and we need to use science in determining these things. I have a master's in wildlife biology, and I worked 31 years as a professional wildlife biologist, and I published a number of papers in scientific journals. So I'm pretty good at looking at research, and the research that I presented to you came from the Department of Fish, Wildlife, and Parks at my request. So I think the science and the data that you're looking at is pretty good. There was talk about trapping in public lands in Montana. When Initiative 177 was brought forth to try to ban all trapping on all public lands in Montana, it was defeated by 63% of the voters in Montana, and it only got a majority of the votes in one of the 55 counties, one of the 56 counties in Montana, and that county got about 50.2% of the votes for it. So trapping is acceptable to the voters in Montana, I believe, according to that election. There's talk about there's a small group of trappers, and maybe we're trying to appease a very small portion of the population. There's also a very small portion of the population that's dentists. But oftentimes when you need somebody to do a job, whether it's a dentist or somebody to control wildlife populations for you, you know, it's not the numbers that count, it's just having them available. They talked about elk being over-objective in Montana. The portion of Montana that's over-objective with elk is not the places in Montana that have wolves. There was talk about public lands and the dangers of trapping. One of the handouts that I gave you that had the Montana fish, the wolf regulations on it, there's also a page there which I identified all the trapping closure areas in Montana. High-use areas, closures within 1,000 feet of trailheads, setbacks from roads, and things like that. So there are a lot of regulations out there where people can't set traps in high-use public areas. With that said, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to... I think this is an important tool in wildlife management. We've heard from a number of sportsman groups and regional biologists that we have too many wolves in some areas. Increasing the wolf trapping season gives wildlife managers another tool to try to control a wildlife population, wolves, to try to save other wildlife populations and try to keep everything in balance. Mr. Chair, I
thank
ask
you,
for
Representative
a, do
Fielder.
Vote on this.
You bet. Okay, we've got to clear the room here directly. Representative Durham will be your chairman on Tuesday. I will be on Zoom. We will do a massive amount of exec next Thursday. So anything else of questions? I declare the FWP committee adjourned.
I feel like I need a drink.